Okay, we have to record the meeting, Jeff, just so you know.
Sounds good to me.
All right, it's 6:01, and we'll call the meeting to order and do the Pledge of Allegiance. You can take your hat off, Jeff.
Done.
I pledge allegiance to the flag, the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, for liberty and justice for all. Review and approve agenda. Well, let's back up. Attendees, we're being recorded tonight. We have Deb Perry here, Treasurer, Nathan Hewitt, Secretary and Select Board, Karen Davis, Town Clerk, and Bob Toppin, Select Board, and Jeff Davis, Jeff Barden, Select Board on the phone. So review and approve agenda. Jeff, you got any problems?
Nope.
I'll make a
motion to approve the agenda.
Okay.
I'll second that.
Second it. Warrant for bills for 12:15. And you wrote down two?
Yes, there's two sets of warrants.
Okay. So that's when we should. Go ahead, Nathan.
So we have to go to move to 5A on this, because we have to authorize a board member to review and approve the orders on behalf of the entire select board issued through 3/31 of 2021. So I'll make a motion to give such authorization to Bob. I gotta make sure I get this correct here. Make a motion to appoint Bob Toppin as the legislative body member to approve and sign orders for operating and payroll expenses. Is that correct?
No, it'd be just operating. We've already done payroll.
Okay. Yep.
Through.
So operating expenses.
So yep. I second that motion. I have the document here.
You have, okay.
That just grabs it.
Yep.
Yeah, so make sure you... So
make
March
sure
31st.
I get it right.
Yep.
So when can those warrants be signed, Karen?
After a remote meeting, so they can be signed tonight by you.
Okay, but we got to do it at a select board meeting.
Yes, it still has to be part of a meeting.
All right.
But since we're not coming together, only like a couple of us are, then...
Yep. Okay, review minutes of 11:17, and you've got a copy, Jeff?
I do. Look good to me. I'll make a motion to approve the minutes from November 17th meeting.
All right, I'll second that.
Okay, so the minutes have been approved from 11:17. So item number five, authorize a board member to review and approve orders on behalf of the entire road issued through 3/31, and we just did that.
Lyle, are you with us?
Yes, good evening, Karen. Thank
Hi.
You.
Lyle, did you hear the people that are here?
I did. Thank you. Yeah,
okay.
I just got on right after the pledge, and
All right.
so I did hear who was in attendance. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay, and we are being recorded.
Great.
Yep.
Well, thank you for having me. I see that you have a lengthy meeting, so I'm not going to take up much of your time. I appreciate, Karen, you getting me on the agenda. And as I'm looking at your agenda, I was talking with Ed Bold the other day, and I need to congratulate you on getting your municipal planning grant. That's an exciting step forward in your plans there. And Ed filled me in on what you were thinking about. I'm back at the Chamber of Economic Development. I was away for a couple of years and came back and helped to bring together Rutland Economic Development Corporation and the Rutland Region Chamber under one roof and one organizational structure. COVID kind of pushed that forward. We were moving in that direction anyway with committee structures and shared governance. Now it's official and we're in one location. One of the first things we did was we polled all of our membership and businesses in the area, asking them how we could best help. And interestingly enough, almost 60% came back saying their first priority was continued population growth and attracting people to our region. The second was to help small businesses with the economic recovery process that's going on, and we have been doing that actively. But why I'm here tonight is to talk to you about participation or your potential participation in helping to support the regional marketing initiative. Mary Cohen and I remember coming out to visit with you folks maybe 3 years ago, and we talked a little bit about it. We had a slideshow and all and talked to you about what we were doing. That continues. We are now in year 5 of a 10-year plan. And we have seen active people coming into the region because of the initiative. We've had more than 30 families move in, more than 70 people, and they're living in different places within the county. So I'm still out doing the same thing that we were doing the night that Mary and I came, and we're out asking towns if they would like to help contribute in two ways. One, financially, certainly, but the other, to help us to populate on our realrutland.com website, the IRA page. And we are actively working on having all 27 communities in the city of Rutland have their own spot that people from all over the United States can look at. And so we're looking for pictures and anything you would like us to put up there that would show off your region and the things you think are special. On the money side, we're asking communities to contribute if they would like $1 per person, and that's around $400 or so, I think, for IRA. Karen could probably tell me better if my numbers are right, but and I don't know how to ask for that money from your group. Some folks vote on it. Some people put it in their budget. Others say, well, we can't participate this year, but we would like to continue to talk to you about populating the website. So that's why I'm here, to see if you would like to participate. I want to say right up front, though, that this is not a pay-to-play activity, that you don't have to pay in order to be on the website. We're going to keep working for you and working for all of our communities, but it does cost us money to do that. We have a marketing firm and so forth. It's kind of a strange thing to be coming to people during the time of COVID to say we're trying to get people to come here. We are doing that virtually right now. We have 5,000 email addresses of people who have already come to our website, and we are actively cultivating that list so that when we can invite people to come, that we will be able to do that. We have a concierge team of about 25 people that I call our catchers, and the catchers are the folks that will actively talk to the individuals when they come through our pipeline. So I will pause right there, as you can hear my home phone ringing. My apologies. And see if you have any questions. And again, I appreciate the time on your agenda tonight.
Lyle, we certainly appreciate the work that you're doing. One of our big concerns, not really having much business here in town other than you know, were people working from home, is taxes, and you know, we're real sensitive to this stuff. Typically, when outfits are looking for money, we use the route of filing a petition and put it to the taxpayers as you know to vote on it, and it seems like it's been a fairly successful route to go, and it certainly gives the opportunity to people that are looking for money to either they or a representative here in town to talk about a little bit about what the chamber may be doing. And Karen, he would have to file a petition and have how many vote? How many signatures?
16.
That is good to know.
And
I assume
there's
a due date?
Yeah, when's it due?
It's in January, near the end of the month, and it's on my to-do list to nail that date down, but let me see if I can find it real quick.
And Karen, you and I, so we don't keep close, you and I can connect
offline
here, and we'll figure that out, and I appreciate that guidance.
Super.
All right.
Okay. Appreciate it very much.
All right. And we will talk again. And at some point, regardless of how the vote comes out, I'd like to come and see you folks when we can stand closer than, you know, the cow length apart. And just so we can say hi. So.
Yeah. Well, just so you know, we're not out in the parking lot.
Okay. All right. Well, take care.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Bye. So he said that the Chamber of Economic Development is now linked with the Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah, they merged back in the fall. Jeff, did you say you were kind of following that?
Yeah. So he used to run Reddick, that Reddick council that was, and he used to run Castleton. But then that Reddick, they decided that why are we doing this?
Yeah.
The same thing in different auspices, so that it actually made a lot of sense. So Reddick merged with the chamber.
Yeah, I've gone to some of those chamber get-togethers before, so I've probably met this guy before.
So this Chamber of Economic Development is a merger of the original chamber and Reddick.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, moving on to the 22 budget.
I gave you all a handout. Plugging in the numbers that we worked on last month on the highway budget, the third page.
I don't see it.
It was with the agenda, Bob.
So is this the spot that I talk about the John Deere?
Like a rental?
Yeah, or purchase?
Yep, you can.
You still there, Jeff?
I am.
Okay, just flick your lights on your house so we can tell whether you're with us or not. So we're talking about budget, and there's nothing in here to rent or replace the John Deere bucket loader. I met with Tim Crean yesterday down on Raymond Road and was asking whether he could rent us a machine for the winter. What it would cost us to rent a machine for the winter. So we're talking November to April at 6 months, and he said $2,000 a month. We, for a few years, rented Jeff Davis's front end loader, and my recollection was that was $600 a month, but that had to be at least 5 years ago.
It would have been before we bought the bucket loader.
Yeah. So it's a number. So there's $12,000 or $10,000, call it what you want, that isn't in the budget. I asked him how much a machine would be to purchase, and he had one down there this summer that John Capen was all excited about with a backhoe attachment, and he said somewhere between $40,000 and $50,000. Nathan, you called Nortrax, and of course Nortrax is...
Yeah, Nortrax, we could get a pre-owned certified machine. We're looking at about $80,000.
So we were saying that with the issues on the John Deere, the frame up front by the front by the motor has been welded on three sides. We've owned that machine, I think, for 4 years, something like that, and paid $16 for it. We just did a head gasket for it, and that was $3, and the weld job was, I'll throw out a number of $3. So 16 and 3 and 3, 19, we got about 22 in it. Sight unseen, he figured the machine was worth $6,000 or $7,000. The backhoe part of it really isn't operational anymore. The pins and bushings are all worn out. So my question is do we put money in the budget for 22 for renting or replacing the machine? Nathan?
I think it comes down to what we're going to use it for, which is mostly going to be loading sand.
Yep.
It seems as though we're hiring most of our ditching out to really be efficient. You know, we really wouldn't use the backhoe often, but it would be handy when you get a storm, you know, heavy rains, you got to clean a culvert out or something, get somebody to come in quickly.
So it would seem like, I mean, none of us want to spend any more money than we have to buy a machine, but it seems like we got to put money in the budget to cover our butt. Debbie, we put $30,000 in there?
Well, we're looking at what we're going to fund the capital account.
Okay.
And in the previous year's budget, which is the one we're working in now, I believe we funded it for $45,000. Now that's for three pieces of equipment. That's
right.
The truck,
the grader, and the backhoe.
Right. So we probably should fund it for more than that.
Yep. We got three more winters with the dump truck. That's slated to go down the road after 7 years. The grader, we know we've got some hydraulic issues, and the seal in that one wheel is connected to the brakes, the transmission, and the hydraulic levers. So I'm just throwing out a number. We may end up spending as much as $5,000 on the grader. And nobody will give us a quote because they won't know what they're getting into until they get it apart.
We've got $88,774.
That's in the
savings account. And I think last time we bought a new truck, we needed $135,000.
Yep. And we have talked about this $550,000, and I think Clarendon got into something like $100,000 to $110,000, so I think that $135,000 isn't a bad number.
So what we've got in that savings account after we put the $45,000 in there, that was $45,000, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's like $133,774. So basically, after this fiscal year, we'll have enough money in there to cover a new truck. And how many years are you thinking before we'll replace the truck? Two? Three?
Three more.
Three. Okay.
So looking out 3 years from now with that $45,000 going in there, we'll be in pretty good shape then for purchasing a truck if we keep putting money in there 3 years down the road.
Right. So could we...
So then it's money for the...
So for this year, could we skip the truck and work on the John Deere?
Well, that account is for all three pieces of equipment.
That's dependent on, we don't have any major breakdowns or anything, right?
Exactly. So, we could go up to, would you dare go up to 60,000?
I'd like to put 60 in there and see what it did to the... I mean, ultimately...
That would be a good...
Ultimately, it's the bottom number that really counts.
We can always back off.
Yeah. So I think we got to bump it up to 60. And I would hope that somebody was clever enough to find the John Deere or find a machine to load sand at cheaper than 40 to 50.
I'll tell you, Tim Crean is really, I'm glad you're looking to him to do it because he has a lot of experience in that.
Yeah. Yeah. And if we, I don't know. So, even if we didn't buy a machine, if we rented it from somebody, you're still looking at $10,000 a year.
Twelve.
Well, you know, that was Tim's number, but, you know, maybe we found somebody else. Maybe Jeff would rent his bucket loader again.
$12,000 in 3 years, we bought halfway to 4 years, we bought a good machine.
Yeah.
Because if we were to go that route to buy a machine, we just got to be sure that, you know, our road crew uses that machine, you know.
I hear you. Yeah.
We got to utilize it, not, you know.
So what do you think, Jeff, to go from 45 to 60 for the capital fund?
Yeah, so I'm looking at it. The 26 from last year just went straight across into the fund, right? And then we had all that maintenance, the 23 or so. No, it was actually 17 to 19 and 8. So we really had like right, because we didn't have that in the budget.
Right.
Those three line items for maintenance. On the 45, I mean, I'm not going to say don't do 60, but why can't we do part of that 45, knowing that if we keep on the path we're on in terms of 3 years and getting to the 130, 140 number that we want to get to, why can't we take part of that 45 and run it into maintenance and go, you know, in other words, still transfer to the capital fund, but maybe a lower number, like 30, and use 15 for maintenance. That'd be my only thought. Definitely want to, I'd rather over, you know, over budget and then use less than versus what we did last year. Those are my 2 cents.
What do you think?
Someone's going to have to explain that to me.
Okay. So let's go over those numbers again, Jeff.
Yeah, so we transferred last fiscal cycle 26 across, right?
No.
Correct?
No.
Yes.
Huh?
What am I missing?
Last year we transferred 26.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
So last year, last cycle, whatever, 26 went across to the
right.
Fund. I think that's great. But then we had 26.7 of unexpected or not budgeted maintenance. 17 plus 2 plus 7,500.
But it was supposed
so
to
my point is, why don't we budget into maintenance? And if you want to run that to, if you want to run that transfer number up, you can. But I would suggest keep the transfer number about the same. Run 15 into the maintenance, because we know we're not going to spend that much on maintenance for those three this year, but we're pretty sure anyway. I mean, we're going to have some, maybe half of that. I don't know. So run 15 into the maintenance bucket, and then all of a sudden you're down to, and you're still at 30 across. And if you still feel like you want to bump that number up, I would not vote for it. It's just a suggestion. In other words...
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
You see what I'm saying? In other words, we're getting close on the truck number, and we still have 3 years left to pad it, right? So if we spread that out and not do 45 into the fund, but did 30 or 25... and use the rest of it for the maintenance line items, that would be that's what I'm trying to say here.
And where's the 30 or 40 or 50 coming from to replace the John Deere?
Well, that would be the add-on to, you know, whatever that transfer number is. In other words, if you... I see what you're saying. And you think that's going to go in a year, 2 years?
I think that with the issues with that machine, I think we're better off next spring to sell the thing.
Yeah.
It runs now. Some little guy somewhere would buy it, you know, that's building a home. He could use it. You know, he'll pay $7,000 for it and get away with it. It's just not a good machine for the town to own.
So, and not to burn too much time on this one, but you guys are better at the machinery than I am, for sure, in terms of experience and knowledge.
I'm okay on the machinery. I'm not good on budgeting.
Somewhere, I think try for the 60.
But isn't it, like, aren't people, the you know, this group saying, gosh, we have this great machine, or we have to have a decent machine just to load sand. I guess if you have to, you have to. It just seems like that's the only thing we're using it for, and it's a, I'm not saying it's not a vital task,